A reading from the book of Genesis. Israel set out with all that was his. When he arrived at Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. There, God, speaking to Israel in a vision by night, called, "Jacob, Jacob." He answered, "Here I am." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you a great nation. Not only will I go down to Egypt with you, I will also bring you back here after Joseph has closed your eyes." So Jacob departed from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel put their father and their wives and children on the wagons that Pharaoh had sent for his transport. They took with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in the land of Canaan. Thus Jacob and all his descendants migrated to Egypt, his sons and his grandsons, his daughters and his granddaughters, all his descendants he took with him to Egypt. Israel had sent Judah ahead to Joseph so that he might meet him in Goshen. On his arrival in the region of Goshen, Joseph hitched the horses to his chariot and rode to meet his father Israel in Goshen. As soon as Joseph saw him, he flung himself on his neck and wept a long time in his arms. And Israel said to Joseph, "At last I can die, now that I have seen for myself that Joseph is still alive." Verbum Domini. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. The Lord watches over the lives of the wholehearted. Their inheritance lasts forever. They are not put to shame in an evil time. In days of famine, they have plenty. Turn from evil and do good, that you may abide forever. For the Lord loves what is right and forsakes not his faithful ones. The salvation of the just is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of distress. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him.
Alleluia, alleluia. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum. Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen. I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Verbum Domini.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. This line comes from our responsorial psalm today, and it's taken from Psalm 37. The church uses a responsorial psalm to respond in prayer to the word of God heard in our first reading. So what occurred in our first reading? Well, it's from Genesis, and we think about the life of Joseph, the patriarch. Over 20 years earlier from what we heard in our first reading, Joseph was that beloved son of Jacob, also called Israel, who received the coat of many colors from his father. It was a sign of his father's special love for Joseph. And what did Joseph's brothers do? They hated him for that. They wanted to get rid of him. They sold him in slavery into Egypt. And so he went down to Egypt. But God blessed Joseph in Egypt, and he was raised to be next to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh so much trusted him that he allowed Joseph to have great authority. And when Israel had a severe famine, the people of God having a severe famine, they took refuge into Egypt. And Joseph then was able to feed his own people. And then, in our first reading, we hear about the reunion of Joseph with his father after over 20 years. On his arrival in the region of Goshen, Joseph hitched the horses to his chariot and rode to meet his father Israel in Goshen. As soon as Joseph saw him, he flung himself on his neck and wept a long time in his arms. Imagine that. The beloved son, now seeing his father. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. St. John Chrysostom, that golden mouth preacher of the early church, preached on this passage in this way. Chrysostom says about Joseph, "You see, immediately there came to his mind what he himself had suffered, what his father had endured on his account. And he thought of the great length of time that had elapsed and the fact that he saw his father and his father set eyes on his son. So he shed a flood of tears, revealing his exceeding joy." Take delight in the Lord. Imagine how Joseph, in his life, took delight in the Lord and how the Lord granted him his heart's requests. St. Ambrose, Another father of the early church says that the patriarch Joseph was a mirror of purity. He took delight in the Lord and spurned anything that would sully his enjoyment of the Lord. Joseph sought God, and he knew that sin would not satisfy him. His prayer was answered. Now, God does not need us, but he wants us to do one thing. He wants us to enjoy him. God wants us to enjoy him, to love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then from that, to love our neighbor as ourselves. To enjoy God, to cling to him for his sake alone, not because we have a list of things we want from God. No, but that we want God. We want God. That's what God wants of us, because he has made us for himself. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. The saints always show us how to take delight in the Lord, and today we celebrate the feast of St. Benedict, Abbot. Like St. Ambrose and St. John Chrysostom, St. Benedict is a father of the church, and he is called the patriarch of Western monasticism. Do you love St. Benedict and what he has done for the church, his witness? I do. I am an alum of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. And I am forever grateful to St. Benedict for what he has done for us. I am forever grateful to the monks of St. Benedict's Abbey and the sisters of Mount St. Scholastica in Atchison, Kansas. I'm grateful for their wisdom, their love, and for their continued prayers. Now, St. Benedict took delight in the Lord, and he wrote a rule for those who really seek God. The rule's prologue mentions that with the heart expanded along the way of God's commands, one hastens with unspeakable sweetness of love. Hastening with unspeakable sweetness of love. The collect today that the church uses echoes St. Benedict's rule and prays to God about putting nothing before love of you, we may hasten with a loving heart in the way of your commands. St. Benedict shows us the way of taking delight in the Lord. Now, I have a question for you. Do you take delight in the Lord? Let's put it another way. Do you like God? Like God? Well, we're called to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, that's the chief commandment. But I want to know, do you take delight? Do you like God? I want to share with you something from a new book called Emotional Holiness, Discovering the Divine Plan for Your Human Emotions by a Benedictine abbot. His name is Abbot Austin Murphy. In Emotional Holiness, Abbot Austin has a chapter called Learning to Like God. Learning to Like God. It's fitting now to turn to a faithful son of St. Benedict to learn about taking delight in the Lord. We are commanded to love God, and love is an act of the will. Love is primarily an act of the will. It's not an emotional thing. God is love, and God from all eternity does not have emotions, but God is love. You can think about how you may love a particular family member at a time, but you really don't have feelings of liking at that time. It happens in life. It doesn't mean that you don't love someone just because you don't have a feeling, but feelings help, or they could hurt. And Abba Austin teaches in Emotional Holiness how we can learn to like God more deeply. Abba Austin teaches, the pursuit of God must first and foremost be led by loving God as an act of the will. I love you, Lord, my strength. One reason the will's act of loving God must lead the way is that there will be times when we do not have an emotional liking for God. Nevertheless, the ideal is to have the feeling part of the soul support the will. Abbot Austin Murphy continues, the emotion of liking God facilitates our ability to do the right thing as God wants. The more we like God, the more our emotions help our wills in doing the right action. Now, Abba Austin gives three pieces of advice about how to grow in liking God. The first is perseverance in prayer. The second, upright living. And the third, using creatures to be able to think about God. First, perseverance in prayer. Any good thing really takes time. And then how it's time in the midst of difficulties. You need perseverance. Think of Joseph the patriarch in Egypt. All that time, he persevered in his delight in the Lord. And the Lord granted him his heart's requests. Second, upright living. Joseph, if we turn to him again as an example, he refused the advances of Potiphar's wife, and he was upright in his living. He's a model of liking God. And then the third, about using created things to make us think about God. God made everything good. And when we like good things here, we can have those things help us think about God made them, and God is even better than them. And then not to be confused about the things that pass away in this world, but to see how these things are gifts of the all-good God who wants us to take delight in him. St. Augustine, yet another father of the church, preaches to his people about the example of a bride and a bridegroom, where the bridegroom makes a ring for the bride, and the bride so much loves the ring that actually she says, "The ring is enough for me. I no longer want to see his face. The ring is enough for me. I no longer want to see his face." And what St. Augustine says, you love the gold instead of the man. You love the ring instead of the bridegroom. A ring is a token of the lover's love for his beloved, and the things that the Creator has made are but tokens of his love for us. All creation is like a ring from God for his beloved, and that we then can look upon the things of this earth and be reminded of God. He loves us, and he wants us to take delight in him, then to be able to see how we use the things of this earth to make us think about God that we cannot see. At this sacrifice of the Mass, we thank God for the example and teaching of the holy ones, of the saints, in showing us the truth that sets us free. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests.